You're listening to Vatican Radio.
Forcefully reiterating his call for the protection of vulnerable child migrants, Pope Francis has dedicated his message for this year's World Day of Migrants and Refugees to children. Child Migrants, the Vulnerable and the Voiceless is the title of the message, in which Francis asks everyone to take care of the young, who, he says, in a threefold way are defenceless. They are children, they are foreigners, and they have no means to protect themselves. More and more children are crossing borders on their own. A recent United Nations report revealed that over 100,000 unaccompanied minors applied for asylum in 78 countries in 2015. That's triple the number of 2014. The report also pointed out that child migrants travelling alone are among those at the highest risk of exploitation and abuse, including by smugglers and traffickers. This too is a reality Pope Francis reflected on in depth as he condemned the abuse of children whom, he said, are prey to unscrupulous exploiters who often transform them into the object of physical, moral and sexual violence. The International Director of Jesuit Refugee Service, Father Tom Smolich, spoke to me about the Pope's message, about the work carried forward by JRS across the globe, and about his concern for increasing numbers of child migrants and the xenophobic political trends of our time that result in more walls and less welcome.
I've been very struck by the Pope's speaking the past couple of months in particular, focusing on children, the needs of children who are migrants and refugees, the most vulnerable, as he says over and over again. Certainly, the statistics would tell us that approximately half of those who are refugees and forced migrants are under the age of 18, so we're talking about a large number of young men and women. A lot of them, more than ever before, are unaccompanied minors, especially children leaving places like Eritrea, where their folks tell them to go and don't ask where they are so that they can't be tracked down. Or even we're seeing so much in Central America now, where the children often head north and the parents head south, just out of fear of what can be done in terms of the violence there. So we certainly see this. I think the Pope's message about the vulnerability of children, the children being the first to suffer, I think he's right on. I think the other point that he makes at the end of his message on the importance of protection, integration, and long-term solutions. Our experience would be he's absolutely right. Protection and integration, I think, very much go together. JRS, as you know, does a lot of work in education. Education is a way which both protects and enables young people to participate in the societies that they are currently living in and will live in the future. So I found his talk very moving, and this focus on children, I think, is especially appropriate now, as there are so many voices in the blogosphere and in the newspapers and saying no and shut our doors and build walls. He's saying focus on those most vulnerable, focus on those most in need.
You just said two things that I'd like to pick up on. One is the current xenophobia trend that we are seeing, not only in Europe, but also possibly in the Americas. Are you concerned about this?
Yes. How could one not be concerned? The needs of people on the move are huge right now. Many of the countries which are throwing the walls up or seem to want to throw the walls up highest are the ones who are also producing the guns and the ammunition and the weapons of destruction that are at the root of so much going on. Certainly, I'm from the U.S. I look at what's going on in my country, a conversation about whether we should build a wall, whether we should exclude Muslims, whether we should end the status of over 750,000 young immigrants who were brought here as children who'd been given legal rights under a presidential order, which the incoming president could change. There's a real vulnerability here. And again, the children are always the most vulnerable. And that's what I think Pope Francis is trying to say. Remember this through the perspective from the eyes of a child. Remember especially what this does to children.
The Pope, in his message, is very forceful regarding how vulnerable children are to trafficking and exploitation. He lists some of the terrible things that can happen to them. Have you any experience in this regard?
Unfortunately, yes. One of the phenomena that we deal with often are children, young people who have been trafficked. This is more often with young girls, sometimes young boys. But there's a vulnerability which comes in being on the move. You're without friends, you're without family, you're without the social structures that can protect our most vulnerable, and bad things happen. We've certainly met children, especially girls, to whom this has happened. As I said, for instance, in our refugee camps in northern Ethiopia, young Eritreans literally told by their parents, leave now before the army takes you over. Young people fleeing Central America, going north, because they've been threatened to either join this gang or die, kill somebody or die. Frightening, absolutely frightening. And the vulnerability is breathtaking and heartbreaking.
JRS, in its programs, as you were saying, focuses a lot on education, which is a saving piece in this puzzle. The Year of Mercy has just ended. What about your Mercy in Motion campaign?
Well, our Mercy in Motion campaign was an effort to respond to the Pope's invitation for all of us to show mercy. And we felt as JRS, our goal was to increase our education, especially for young people. Again, that sense of protection, integration, education is something which they can carry with them wherever they go. Our goal is by 2020 to increase the number of young people that we serve by 100,000. I have to tell you, we were very blessed over the past year. People were very generous. We are continuing to work on fulfillment of this goal. Just this month, here in January, we have become responsible for all refugee education in Eastern Chad. So we are now doing from preschool all the way to higher education with elementary and high school in the middle. Our focus there is on girls because, again, back to this thing that we were talking about previously, a girl who's in school at 14, she's protected, she's learning. She doesn't get married early. She doesn't become a victim of survival sex. She learns skills that will help her as a more mature woman in the years to come. So all of this works together, and I'm thrilled to say that people have been very generous in our Mercy in Motion campaign, and we continue to, in a sense, want to support our global education initiative, this idea that we're going to educate more young people, we're going to do teacher training, and in a sense, raise this whole level of education among the refugee community worldwide.
About your campaign, has it officially ended? Are you still asking for support?
So the Year of Mercy ended, and Mercy in Motion, in a sense, is the inspiration for our campaign. The program itself is called the Global Education Initiative. We're still raising money and developing programs to find places for those 100,000 more young people that we want to offer education to. People have been generous. We continue to need more support, and so that we can especially provide education in some of the current hotspots. For instance, in northern Uganda, South Sudanese are coming back over. One of the projects which we just want to get funding right now is high school education. Again, protecting young people. What happens if you're 13 or 14 years old? You have nothing to do during the day. There is no future. That's an outcome we are trying to avoid. It's those situations where our Global Education Initiative makes the most sense and where we continue to look for support and encouragement.
Father Tom, I understand you traveled a lot this 2016. Are there any areas in which you saw particular hope or good work as regards refugees and especially child refugees?
Linda, I have many stories that I could tell, but the one that comes to my mind right now, I was fortunate enough over the summer to visit Syria. And JRS works in Aleppo, in Homs, and in Damascus. In Aleppo, as we all know, it's a very tragic situation there. We have stayed there. We are continuing primarily doing food, non-food items, and we do some health care, especially for those who are chronically ill. We don't do necessarily war casualties, but the sort of illnesses and stress and high blood pressure, things like that. In Homs and Damascus, our focus is on child protection and education. And so when I visited Homs, we have two programs right in the center of Homs. One of them is literally right next to that blown-out area that all of us have seen, those buildings which were leveled in the very beginning of the Syrian Civil War. And so I went to this education program. I mean, it's technically after-school education, but for many of the children who aren't going to school, this is it. I was so moved. There was probably a dozen young people, probably 9, 10, maybe 12 years old, being taught by who I later found out was a Syrian chess champion. And he was teaching chess to these young people. And I was very moved by that because, Linda, one doesn't teach chess unless you see a long-term future. If it's only for the short term, you're teaching checkers. If you're teaching chess and you're learning chess, you're saying there is a future for these people. And that's the image which stays with me. Children deserve to be able to learn chess. Children deserve to envision a future. I think it's our job as JRS, as other people responding to Pope Francis' message, to make sure that there is a genuine future for these most in need of our protection.
I think the Pope himself, if I'm not mistaken, ends his message with something about the future and how children obviously represent our future. And there's so many refugees in the world today. It's a huge slice of the world's future. Are you hopeful for 2017? What do you hope for in this year?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm always hopeful. I think to be part of JRS is to be an optimist. What I would say, though, as you were asking me that question, the thought that flashed on my mind was something a Jesuit spiritual director had told me years ago. He said, if you can't imagine something, it will never happen. So I think it's, especially in light of the Pope's message talking, focusing on children in the future, it's important, I think, to imagine what a future could look like. We can imagine a Syria that is not at war. We have to imagine that, and if we can imagine that seeing happen, then we can take the steps to have it. We have to be able to imagine that every refugee child can find a seat in school, whether that be at a chair, whether it be on the ground, because it's a very simple classroom. But we have to imagine that that is possible, and then we take the steps to get there. So yes, will there be some things that we don't like this year? Undoubtedly so. But I think the Pope is on to something here in stressing the needs of children, in stressing the vulnerability, but also the hope that children bring. The more we can see this phenomenon of refugees and forced migrants from the experience of children, from the needs of children, I think the better we might be able to imagine a response.
That was JRS International Director Father Tom Smolich.